Parshas Tzav, Tovshin Pei. So tonight's shiur should be L'schus Refuah Shleima, for a very close friend of mine. As I'm sure many of us have, family, friends, at least one person that we know, if not, unfortunately more, that are sick right now, Chas V'Shalom, in the hospital, not doing well, and in critical condition. But one of my very close friends, Meir Ben Chavaleya, he's right now on a respirator in a hospital, and he should have a refuah shleima bekarov, as well as Yaakov Eliyahu Menashe ben Rachel, as well, she also have a refuah shleima bekarov. And then there's a list also here of cholim on the right side that, you know, that should, I'm not gonna list all of them. I mean, Esther Besmalka Gnendel and is a rabbitzin in Queens, and a lot of other mispalim in a shul in Queens that I was affiliated with and I lived there. They should all have a refuah shleima bekarov, and Klai Yisrael should see, Yeshua sent a refuah shleima bekarov. So that's what tonight's shiur will be focused on. So we'll start off with the summary of the parsha as we usually do. So Parshas Tzav, really a continuation of Parshas Vayikra, and tonight hopefully we'll get in some ideas of Parshas Tzav, and then as well be able to discuss a little bit at the end on the Haggadah, one of my favorite ideas on the Haggadah that I'm really excited to share with everyone. So the parsha starts off with HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructing Moshe Rabbeinu and his sons regarding their obligations, their duties as Kohanim, who bring the Korbanos in the Mishkan at the time, and tells us many of the halacha specifically of the Korban Ola, the Ola offering, which was the offering that was burnt up completely to Hashem. Nothing was left for us to eat. And the Torah then goes on, continues, tells us about the Esh, the fire that was on the Mizbeach, that had to be kept burning at all times. And in it was burned the holy consumed Korbanos Ola, and the veins of the different fats from the Shlamim, the sins and the guilt offerings as well, and the handful separated from the meal offering. And the Torah continues about the various, telling us various halachos of Korbanos, which we'll try again this week to relate to ourselves and to our lives, even though we don't offer Korbanos nowadays. And it concludes really with Aaron and his sons staying within the Mishkan, the Mikdash, and they're there for 7 days, during which Moshe Rabbeinu initiates them into the Kahuna, really, and begins the process of the Shemini Miluim, which then next week in Parsha Shemini, we'll read about, you know, the B'Yom HaShemini on the 8th day, when everything, when they start the actual designated avoda. So the if you look in the source sheet, everybody can see it. Is it clear? Thumbs up. Okay. So the first pasuk was in the parsha. Actually, the second pasuk starts pasuk aleph, but pasuk beis says perek vav pasuk beis tzavis aron ves banav lemor zos toras haola hi haola al mokdal mizbeach kol halayla. Right, so the pasuk tells us that you should command Hashem's talking to Moshe to command Aaron and his son, saying that this is the law of the burnt offering, the law of the korban ola. That is the burnt offering which burns on the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall burn with it. So the halacha of a korban ola. So Rashi here makes an interesting comment, which many of the mafarshim discuss at length, and we'll go through two different explanations in this Rashi and on this pasuk that I think really can relate to each and every one of us nowadays. So Rashi says, Tzavis Aaron, Ein Tzav Elo Lashon Zaruz Miyad Uledoros. Tzav, Hashem tells Moshe he should command Aaron. So Tzav is a Lashon of what? Zrizus. It's a Lashon of alacrity, of doing something with zeal. And it's Miyad, meaning now for the Kohanim, and Lidaros, for future generations as well. So that's the first teaching of Rashi, that's the Lashon of Tzav in the Pasuk, the first word Tzav, the name of the Parsha Tzav. It connotes a feeling of doing something with excitement, with alacrity, with being happy to do it and being motivated to do it. And it's a message for the Kohanim and for all future generations as well. First lesson in Rashi. Second point, Amar Rabbi Shimon b'yoyser tzarech hakosev lezariz b'makom sheyesh bo chisaron kis. Further, Rashi quotes from Rabbi Shimon, taught from a Medrash, that really the Torah needs to urge people to fulfill commandments, especially where there's a monetary loss involved. perhaps something we can relate to with Pesach going on now. My first time making Pesach, perhaps for some listening, first time making Pesach, Pesach is expensive. People talk about it all the time. But then when you start doing your shopping and the bills add up and it's a few hundred and a few hundred and a few hundred and you're in the thousands and you're like, whoa, this is expensive. Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to make Pesach. Baruch Hashem, we home for Pesach. But that doesn't mean that there's not a chisar and kiss, that the bank account isn't going down and that there's less money in it after we are spending that money on Pesach. So when it comes to those mitzvos, Rashi says the second point of Rashi from Rabbi Shimon is that you need to be mezaris. You try to have to really be extra urged and encouraged to do those mitzvahs that have a loss of money in particular. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the source, I actually didn't put numbers, I didn't have a chance yet, but in source number 3 over here, he asks the question that many asks. So, Hinei Rashi Perisha Kol Makom Shenei Barotzav Hum Yad Eldors. The first part of Rashi that says that when Hashem told Moshe to tell Aaron, to have this zeal in doing the commandments, that it should be for now and for the future generations. Hikshu ha-mefarshim. The mefarshim ask, Dekan ha-ledaros leisa debatal ha-mikdash ve'ein lanu lo'o lo'ashim. He says, I don't understand. Many of the mefarshim ask, to be shown already ask, there's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash in the future, right? The Emes Yaakov lived in our, as a contemporary of ours, basically. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean to tell Aaron to be zealous when it comes to doing the mitzvahs of the korbanos of the Ola, and for this generation and all future generations, if we know that some of the future generations aren't going to have these korbanos that the Torah is describing here and discussing here? So he quotes from Chazal, "Dezos Torah sa'ola hainu dechol ha'osik b'Torah hari hu kiu hikar Ola." That anybody, Gemara Menachos says, that learns Torah, it's as if you brought a korban Ola. So, one pshat, right? It's okay, we don't have the korban mamish, we don't literally have the korban, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash to offer it in, but when we learn Torah, it's as if we're actually offering the korban. V'im kein bein miyad or vein l'daras, hoche pirusha da'ash l'daras, ishtan ha'matza mikomakum tzival l'aron l'vanav. So, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, maybe that's what it means, one pshat, maybe that it means that when it's for now and for future generations, it's saying even though the situation is going to change in future generations and there won't be a Beis HaMikdash with korbanos to offer, nevertheless, when people learn Torah and they're yasok with Torah, they're going to go ahead and it's going to be treated as if they offered the korban ola, and they should do that when they learn what they learn Torah with alacrity, with excitement, with passion. But then Rav Yaakov offers a wild idea. V'hu deva emes la'arun ulevanav. He says, in truth, Aaron and his children, ein kan chisar and kis, they didn't really lose money. They were the Kohanim offering the Korbanos on behalf of me, on behalf of the Yisraels, on behalf of those that needed to bring the Korbanos. Aval ha Aaron oyves hamakom ve'oyev hu esabrios. Right? Aaron, we know, loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the greatest people to ever live. But he also loved Bnei Yisrael. He was a tremendous, he was an ohev shalom ve'rodev shalom. Ve'halo kasha alav. And because he had this challenge, he was pulled in two different directions. He was pulled to the Ribono Shel Olam above, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was also pulled towards the people, towards Klal Yisrael. And it was difficult for him. The kol ikar shmo shel mezbecha chitzon hu mezbecha ola, mipnei shekol karbonosa biyikaram him olos, umatzinu olos haketz hamezbeach, vahainu b'chol zman she'in korban lahachzik isho shel mezbeach, ha'olam akriven olos. And every time, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that in the Mishkan, when they didn't have a korban going, when there was no korban that was being offered, there was this korban ketz ha'ola, the olos ha'ketz ha'mizbeach, which they had to burn korbanos constantly on in order so that there were korbanos being offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if somebody didn't have to offer a korban at that specific time, the ola on this special mizbeach was always being offered. V'im kein, here's the key line, Hakasha lo la'aron lidrosh mibnei Yisrael shiitnu mos la'ish ve'im yichlu shiklei be'ish. It was very difficult for Aaron HaKohen to go ahead and collect money from people that they would be spending money on these korbanos, the specific olas that were offered all the time, and they'd lose this money. The chisaron hakisha Yisrael kasha la'aron ha'oeves habrios. So this chisaron kis, this loss of money that the second point of Rashi is emphasizing from Rabbi Shimon, that we have to be zarizin, that we have to be careful and scrupulous and extra mindful of and take care and do with paying attention and focusing on not trying to push it aside. That chisaron kis by Ya'aron was the fact that he loved people so much, it hurt him, and it's a big chiddush to say this, it hurt him to collect money for the olos that were being offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as korbanos outside, on this olos haketz and mizbeach, because he saw them losing out on the money. And that bothered Aaron. He was hurt by it. And so it shows us the sensitivity of Aaron. Yes, on the one hand, one could say, well, it's going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course it's amazing. But it shows that Aaron, it was so difficult for him because he loved Hashem. He wanted to obviously serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also loved each and every person so much that to see them spending money on something and losing money was difficult for him and pained him. So just a beautiful point, I think, from the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the sensitivity that we need to have towards others. Even if you see somebody else doing the right thing, but if it's hard for somebody to part with something when they're doing the right thing, to feel for them, to empathize with them, to go ahead and be like an Aaron HaKohen who really connected with everybody. And as the Torah says that when he was nifter, if you look in Parshas Chukas in source number 4, Vayir kol ha'eda ki gava Aaron, that when Aaron expired, his time in this world was up, Vayifku es Aaron shloshim yom, they cried for Aaron for 30 days, who? Kol Beis Yisrael. The entire Jewish people, they cried for Aaron for 30 days. I'm not sure if it says like that by any other person who passed away in the Torah. But it says Kol Beis Yisrael were mourning and crying for 30 days over the death of somebody. But everybody, Aaron even more than Moshe was beloved by everyone, that Kol Beis Yisrael were distraught over the passing of Aaron. So that is the idea from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So the next idea we'll look at is, we're going to go out of order for a second, is from Rav Schwab on the same idea. And we'll say Rav Schwab outside just for time, but Rav Schwab basically asks the same question, Ein Tzav El Lashon, and he goes ahead and he says, V'tzarech Bir, Be'ezet Tzad Yishtanu Doros HaAchorim HaRishonim, She'yuzkuku L'ziruz Miyuchad. He actually has a different spin on the question, but he says, what is it for now and for the future generations that they need to be encouraged with this zealous, with this alacrity, this zealousness, with what changed between now and the future generations? And he goes on, Rav Schwab in the Ma'ayin Beis HaShoeva, to explain that basically what happened was the generations changed over time, and what people were focused on in one generation, they weren't necessarily focused on in a different generation. The challenges of each generation changed. And he connects it really to, he quotes different malach, the different Nevi'im, that talk about what was going on by the different Batei Mikdash. And he explains that when a person brings a korban, what it really represents is a person going ahead and imagining his own blood being splattered on the Mizbeach and his own flesh being burned. And it was supposed to be an awe-inspiring event for him. But what happened, unfortunately, with the passage of time, is people came to the Beis HaMikdash, and they brought their korban, gave it to the Kohen, and told him to offer it, and they did it again, and again, and it just became another thing to do. Kind of sometimes like going to shul for myself, right? You go to shul, and you go to shul again, and you go to shul again to daven, and we keep just going to shul. Now we're not going to shul, but we used to go to shul. Hopefully again, we'll soon go to shul. And they all of a sudden it became something just another thing to do. You bring a korban. And they're spending money on the korbanos became like an empty, non-meaningful experience. And that's exactly what the Navi, Yishayahu, explains. He says, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yad Aleph, by the first base of Megdash, Lama li ro zecheichem yom ha-Hashem, Savati olos elim v'chilev meri'im v'dam parim, He says, of what use are your korbanos for me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, he's asking, what do I need your korbanos? I'm satiated with the burnt offerings of rams and the fat and cattle and the blood of bulls and sheep. And he goes, I don't want them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamish says, I don't want your korbanos anymore. Don't offer them to me. And, you know, the offerings were offered in a non-spiritual way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu complained that it was enough. Stop giving korbanos. But that, it wasn't in the first Beis HaMikdash that the korbanos weren't expensive, says Rav Schwab. Rather, they were fat. They were fatty korbanos. They were meaty. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't like them. People were spending money on their korbanos, but Hashem preferred that we bring less expensive korbanos but put our hearts in and have meaning when we bring the korbanos. And unfortunately, we didn't have that in the first Beis HaMikdash. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, ironically, the reverse was the cause and the problem. If you look at the Pasuk in Malachi, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin and Ches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you basically went ahead and, you know, and the attitude was that there's so many people bringing korbanos and everything, and people brought inferior animals to the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't bringing expensive and valuable korbanos anymore. The main idea people must have thought was, okay, all I have to do is bring korbanos, give it with my heart, and I'm good to go. People claim it didn't make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I spent a lot of money or a little money. Who cares? As long as I have a Jewish heart, a korban is a korban. And that's really what the psukim here mention by the second Beis HaMikdash. So we see that neither attitude was correct. Both were incorrect. Because both factors are necessary. One needs the intent, the kavana, the heart, when they are doing something and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one also needs the objective action, the maisa. It has to be done meticulously and follow the rules of what it's supposed to look like and how it should be done, with value, with something of importance when we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rashi means, says with Shrab, that the word Tzav indicates that basically it's an encouragement immediately and for future generations, that there would come a time later on in Jewish history that people would become lax about the quality of the korbanos because it was something that affected their money, how much money they had, chisar and kis. And that's why the pasuk says Tzav, to strongly encourage them that it's going to cost them money. But being Jewish, nobody said it's cheap. Nobody said it's inexpensive to be a Jew. People might say that we are cheap as people. Unfortunately, you might have a reputation like that. But ironically, right, maybe it's because our religion is so expensive. We become cheap. I don't know. Just thought of that. But we have a reputation of being cheap, potentially, among some people. But it's not cheap to be a Jew. We know it's very expensive and costly to be a Jew. And that is this idea from Rav Schwab, a second idea on this pasuk of explaining this Rashi, really, earlier, of the Lashon of Tzav, the Lashon of Zariz, and Lashon of Chisar and Kis. So moving on, and I put the pasuk I saw earlier accidentally. So the pasuk in Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel, right? This is one of my favorite psukim, one of my favorite ideas that I tell friends who are getting married, and I'll explain why in a second. The pasuk tells us the following. It talks about the Trumas Hadeshin. V'lova shakoin mido vad umichnese vad yilbash al besar v'heirim es hadeshin asher toichal ha'ish es ha'ola al hamizbeach v'samo etzel hamizbeach. Right? The mitzvah, the Kohanim taking out the ashes in the morning from the night before, from the day before. And the Kohen shall, he gets dressed up, the Kohen, in his linen tunic, and he shall wear his linen trousers. He gets all dressed up in fancy clothing to do this. And he shall lift out the ashes into which the fire has consumed the burnt offering upon the altar and put them down next to the altar. Right? Trumas Hadeshin, he removes the ashes in the morning. Was the first avodah done in the Beis HaMikdash every single day, was removing of the ashes by the Kohanim. So it's interesting. I think Rav Machlis has a famous idea that the husbands, when they get married, and this is what I tell guys, and I think it's B'Shem Rav Machlis, that when they get married, when you take out the garbage, you should have this kavana, mamish, like the Trumas Hadeshin. Every time you take out the garbage, it's something I think about a lot when I take out the garbage, because once it's in your head, it's kind of stuck there. You're like doing the Trumas Hadeshin for your house. Your house is like a Mikdash Ma'at. We have a little Beis HaMikdash in each and every Jew's home. And when you take out the garbage, it's as if you're taking out the Trumas Hadeshin, from the day before, the ashes that were burnt up from the Korbanos. And it was the first avodah. It was the holiest avodah. It's how they started the day in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the way that they marked the beginning of the day of the avodah, was to do this avodah. So it's a very holy avodah to take out the trash. Nobody should go ahead and think lightly of it. And I'm sure our wives would appreciate it as well if we do it. But
don't fight over it the way they did in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right. We shouldn't have shalom bias issues over taking out the garbage. Good point, Aaron. It's an excellent point. So some people beg to take out the garbage nowadays, as the comments coming in, they fight about it. It's because some of the women know the secret that it's like the Trumas Hadeshin. But let's see two ideas on this Trumas Hadeshin from some of the Mefarshim. So the Rav Shimshon Rav Harish has a beautiful idea. He says as follows, V'hoitzias Hadeshin, yesh leharchek min hazbezbech es kol akevos avodas yom esmo. Kach taschil avodas hayom hachadash al yesod chadash betachlis. Rosh Hashanah Rav Hirsch says that the reason the first thing in the morning you did was take out the ashes was because each day was fresh and each day was a new day. Each day was a sense of hischachus. You started not based off of yesterday, but you got rid of everything from yesterday and you started again a new day. Al pizet tizbar ha'alacha sha'ayasok ba'avodas yom etmol hoitza v'chenire gam harama nasa b'vagadim psuchim shchokim. Al nisgav emaisim sha'asinu kvar ha'avar yisag m'pnei ha'tafkir ha'chadash ha'mutal aleinu kol yom b'yomo. Basically, there's no use in crying over spilled milk, is what Rosh Hashanah Rav Hirsch is saying. The past is over, right? It's a famous line. I'm not even sure the source. It might have been either an Ibn Ezra or something else, but I think it's a Mordechai Ben David song. That ha'avar ayin, ha'asid adayin, ha'ayva kerif ayin, daga minayin, right? The past is over. And it's a beautiful line if you think about it. I mean, I think some question it and the philosophical implications of it, but the past is over. What are we going to worry about yesterday? Yesterday's done. So you take out the ashes. You remove yesterday. You get rid of it. You start fresh anew today. But the words mean that ha'avar ayin, that the past is no more. Ha'asid adayin, the future hasn't happened yet. Ve'ahoy ve'kerf ayin, and the present is fleeting. Every second goes by in a second. So daga minayin, why are we always anxious? Why are we always nervous? Why are we always worried? I mean, maybe now is not the right time to ask the question with everything going on in the world. But there is something to be said about having that philosophy that the person shouldn't worry about the past, shouldn't worry about the future. It's mamish. There's nothing to worry about. So just focus on the present. We focus on today. And that's what Rosh Hashanah Rav Hirsch explains is the mitzvah, this avoda of Trumas Hadeshem. The Chovas HaLevavos, he goes ahead and, really Sefer Machshava, but suggests an idea as well on the Trumas Hadeshem. He says, he talks about in Shar Hachnia, which means really going ahead and being humble and being subjugating yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, V'hashvi sheyira livnei adam hachnia v'yaniach hagavus l'chvod ha-borei, that a person should go ahead and subjugate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yazov hagdola v'yekar v'azihiris al nasho be'eshu ose l'luk mizbaruch bein levada bein betoch mik makalois b'nei adam. Right, that he should go ahead and for the sake of Hashem, put all the haughtiness aside and get rid of his pride, get rid of his dignity while he's serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether he's by himself, like we are right now in our own homes, or whether he's among other people in a crowd of people like we are usually in shul or in wherever we are during the day. And he quotes, Kamo she'amar ha'kasav al-aron ha'gedulas ma'alasov ha'heri mesadeshen. The pasuk says that he would raise up, he would pick up the ashes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this tzivoy to Aaron, to the Kohanim, who were arguably, right, the most ability to become haughty. They were the ones that were doing the avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were the closest to him. They were the choicest. So they had that ability for them to get, heavy-headed and to start having a big head amongst themselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what you're going to do every morning? Don't forget who you are. You're going to take out the ashes every day in order to keep a lower sense of pride, to remove the gaiva from your hearts. And that he quotes Psukim to support this, that from Tehillim, from Shmuel Beis and Tehillim, of the fact that the person should lower themselves and shouldn't be gaivadik, should be humble. And that's what the lesson of Trumas Hadeshen is. That a person, the Kohanim even, and us too, it's a lesson in humility. A lesson in the way that a person is supposed to carry themselves and act in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in front of everyone else. That even the Kohanim, they get dressed up to literally pick up burnt ashes and dust. That's what they would do to make sure that they stayed humble. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them, gave them this commandment for. I actually recall now also, that when I was I worked at Ernst & Young for a number of years, I remember being at a seminar and the CEO of Ernst & Young said that when he got the call that he was nominated as CEO, his name was Jim Turley, he's no longer the CEO, but when he was, so this is many years ago, 8-9 years ago, he said that he went home and he told his wife and he was, talking about whether to accept it or not, and they wanted to really, wanted to do it, he wanted to do it. But his wife said, you can do it, but don't forget, you're still taking out the garbage tomorrow morning. And so it's Trumas Hadashin is a holy avoda, and these are some of the lessons we can learn about forgetting yesterday, moving it on. We made a mistake yesterday, it's okay, today's a new day, about going ahead and being humble and lowering ourselves and not always being too, you know, not having a sense of gaiva in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in front of other people. I think you could also actually say the opposite of Rav Hirsch, that really the Trumas Hadeshen built upon the day before. Not that we say goodbye to yesterday and take the ashes and throw them away, but the avoda of the next day started with the day before because each day builds upon the next. So when it comes to maybe you can, they're not really, it's not a chilik, they're not arguing on one another. One, you know, when it comes to bad things, averis, a person shouldn't get too caught up with them. They should obviously do tshuva, they should have charata, but they shouldn't let it bother them, they shouldn't feel too guilty that they can't move on, that they can't continue on in their lives. At the same time, the good that they did yesterday, they should be able to go ahead and move from one day to the next. I think there's a conversation that that happened between the Ketzais and the Nesivos once. I'm not sure who asked who, it might be the Ketzais to the Nesivos, but the Ketzais, they once corresponded, and he asked him, how did you get such wonderful Chidushei Torah? Oh no, that was Nesivos to the Ketzais. How did you get such wonderful Chidushei Torah? What's your secret? So he said, well, every day, what do you mean what's my secret? I learn every day. No, but how did you get it so sharp and so perfect? He said, well, every day what I would do is I would start my morning. This is how it started. I take out my notes from yesterday and the past week. I go through them. I cross out things that today didn't make sense to me. I'd knock off chidushin that were no longer rational and I didn't think were correct. And I'd start rethinking the whole sugyas from scratch every single day. And I did it the next day, and I did it the next day. So I built upon what I had before, but I got rid of what I thought was wrong. And maybe that's the mahalich, is you take both, and that's the lesson of the Trumas Hadeshen. So moving on to source, there's no numbers, I'm used to saying numbers, but to the next source. Vayikra Parshas Tzav, Perek, that's not a Perek, Perek Zion, I would presume, Pasuk Yed Beis, says as follows. So, it talks about the Korban Toida. The Korban Toida was the Korban that was offered, and Pasuk tells us, Im al Toda Yakrivenu ve'ikriv al Zevach HaToda Chalos Matzos B'lulas HaShemen Rikike Matzos Meshuchim B'Shemen V'Soyles Morbeches Chalos B'lulos B'Shemen. Talks about bringing this Korban Toda, which we know was a Korban that was brought by four different categories of people, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, and the next source on Daf Nun Dal and Amud Beis, that Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Arba Tzrichim L'Hoidah, four people need to give Hodah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and brought this special Todah, and that's what really nowadays the Bircha and Shul, or Bircha Sagomel, is in place of. Yordei Hayam, those who go ahead and travel by sea, which at the time was a dangerous activity, Hochem Midbaros, those who travel across deserts, Misha Hayachol, Levin Esrape, somebody who's sick and then is healed, and somebody who's in jail and is freed, all very dangerous activities, which a person goes ahead and brings a Korban Toda to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being saved from these various situations. This is Machlokas Rishonim, and I quoted the Rashi here in the Gemara Menachos on Daf Ayin Tesem Beis, and if you look at the Rashi here, it seems to be, it could be a steer in Rashi's, or it's one's on Rashi and Chumash, one's Rashi on the Gemara, but there's a huge discussion in Rishonim. Do these four categories of people have an obligation to bring a Korban Toda, or is it voluntary? So if a person's sick and they get healed, do I now have to bring a Korban Toda? Or the Torah is saying, you should. It's like, you know, it's a good thing to do. Why wouldn't you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you, you know, but I don't have to. I can choose to. So it's not so clear. There's a huge machlokas, the Shita Mekubetzes. Rashi and the Gemara seems to say it's a chiyuv. The Shita Mekubetzes over there seems to say, no, it's not a chiyuv. It's if you want to, litzoinchem, he quotes in the Pasuk in later on in Parshas Emor. But there's a whole, you know, discussion around this idea. Is it a chiyuv? Or do you do it with, if you want to do it? And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. The Panim Yafos, which is a sefer written by, the Haflo, he quotes, based actually on the Pasuk and Parshas Emor, a beautiful idea. And he explains that, you know, I will say it outside and then we'll look at it inside, that really, a person, you know, to say it's an obligation that a person has to bring a korban of thanksgiving, it doesn't make much sense. You shouldn't have to be obligated to say thank you, right? If somebody's obligated to say thank you, what kind of thank you is that? Is that a real thank you? Is it coming from a place where you really mean it? Where you desire to go ahead and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving you from that situation? Not so much. You have to do it. You have to do it just like you have to do other mitzvahs. a korban toda, by definition, should have to be something that a person is wants to give and desires to give and then gives it, because it's by definition giving thanks. It shouldn't be an obligation. It undermines what the whole idea is of hakaras hatov. If I have to say thank you to somebody, if I have to be makir tov to somebody, so it's not real hakaras hatov. It's not coming from a meaningful place of thanking, of being thankful for something. It's doing it because I have to do it. Says the Panim Yafos, from the Mechaber of the Sefer HaFlo, he quotes Rashi, Nira Pirusho, Mashikosav Davin HaMelech, Allah Shalom, Tehillim, Kuv Zayin, Hodu Lashem Kito Kilam Chazdo, a pasuk we're all famous with, a very famous pasuk we're all familiar with, that gives thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's good, his goodness is, his kindness lasts forever. Yom Ragule Hashem Asher Gailim Yatzar. Behind the Lufisha Hiskir Achaz Dalit Srich Nahoidos, Hainu Shahayu Bisakon of Anasal and Nesvin Nitzulu. These four people, why are they Srich Nahoidos? So because they were in a situation where they were in danger and Hashem, and they were saved. Aval, Amr Chazal, Ein Balnes, the Gemara Nida says that a person who has a miracle performed for him on his behalf, Ein Balnes Makir Beniso, Ki Ma Rav Tuvo, Sheatzilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelo Ra'a, Velo Ba Lidei Sakana Klal. Right? That a person doesn't always necessarily go ahead and, see the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, because what's the difference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went ahead and could have saved him from, and what to put him in sakana in the first place. Perish. So here's the key line of the Panim Yafos. Shiroi lahodos la'olam la'kadosh baruch hu. Panim Yafos says, put it all aside. Put the four cases, the yardei ayam, halech min baros, the person beis hasurim, and chelosh and srabi, put it aside. It's always necessary, or always not necessary, because that's exactly what we're talking about, whether it's necessary or appropriate. It's always appropriate to go ahead and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki chesed Hashem hu tamidis. Because the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constant. V'lulei shvo shapo u'shmiraso bilti efshar l'eskayim sha'achas. And without HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us and guarding us for a little bit, it would be, even without him protecting us or guarding us, it would be impossible for us to sustain and to be alive for even a little bit. A person, says the Panim Yafos, has to have an attitude all the time that I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving me from the sakana that could have happened to me and didn't and I was saved from. And then you'll have a chiyuv to always give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kava chaymer kishah HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzila shelo ba lidei sakana klal roi lahodos kahena v'chahena. And if a person goes ahead and was never even brought into a situation of sakana, kava chaymer, has to go ahead and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? For not even putting him in the sakana in the first place. So vaday, a person who goes ahead and is in one of those four categories, he should bring a korban, and it makes sense for him to bring a korban. It doesn't make much sense for it to be an obligation. It probably makes more sense for it to be something that he goes at. I mean, the Loshonos are a little tricky if you say this, because it says, it's all, like, Ruts, it's different Loshonos of Tzrichin Lahoidos. There's all these Loshonos of Tzarech, Tzarech, Tzarech. So it sounds like he has to. But the Panim Yafos is saying that each and every one of us, Baruch Hashem, we're here listening to Hashir right now, and we're not getting out of jail. We didn't just cross the desert. We didn't just cross, even though that might be nice, a change of scenery. Or we didn't just cross a sea. We didn't just, we weren't sick and got better. Perhaps maybe some of us were. We know people who were. But even just being here, just getting through today, when there could have been a sakana that hit us, when there could have been a danger that we encountered, and it didn't happen, that itself is reason to give Shevach and Adah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we say in Modim every day. Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that He performs to us each and every day. What miracles? So yeah, obviously our body and the way we function and the way our eyes work and our ears can listen and our mouths can taste and eat and we can digest our food and we can go to the bathroom and Asher Yatzar, of course, all these Nisim and Nifloys. But this Panim Yafos adds a new element to it. That the fact that we didn't even have a sakana that we encountered was also Yad Hashem, and something that we should go ahead and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for as well, and deserving of Toida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll just conclude with the last two ideas. So the Pasuk Perek Vav Pasuk Vav says Ish Tamid Tu Kal on Mizbech Lo Sichbe, right? That the fire on the Mizbech was a continuous fire. It should never, it would never go out. So the Ruach Chaim quoted in the Tal Aroros. Tal Aroros is a compilation of a lot of different Mefarshim and ideas, beautiful ideas, a likut of ideas on Chumash. So, and on different, on the Haggadah and on different Megillahs, different, compilation of ideas brought together from different Rishonim and Achronim. So he quotes from the Ruach Chaim, from Rav Chaim of Elojin, that there were 10 Nisim that happened, in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them, Elokibu HaGeshamim Ish, Shel Atzei HaMaracha, and he quotes that, right, that the water didn't put out the fire, and it's, from Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, and he says, L'chor Hari Lo Yifla, Me'ashem lo yipale me'ashem davar ha'yachol shelo yardu gesham and klal b'makom hamigdash v'mizbech. Right? He asks a good kasha. He says, "Why is that such a great miracle that the fire didn't go out when the rain came down? Hakadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. So why do you have to make it rain at all in the makom hamigdash in the mizbech? Just don't let it rain there. Let it rain around the Beis Hamikdash and not in the mizbech. And then you won't have a problem and have to perform this miracle. It'll be a different miracle of the rain not raining on the mizbech." So he says as follows, El Lahoros Lono ki Adam Akavua Bavodo Lo Yashuv Mipnei Kol. He says that a person who is involved and set in his avoda of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he won't go ahead and turn away from anything, right? Because of anything. In Kol Hasibo Shifro, so in Kol Zos Yamod Alomdo. He could have all the rationalities, all the justifications, all the reasons in the world not to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if he's Kavua Ba'avoda, he's not gonna stop. V'chein Haya Ha'esh, and that's exactly what the fire was. It was Yukud Tamed Amazbech V'lo Kibuhu Kol Gesham Shiyardu Alov. That the fire, which represents the Torah, represents our avoda, it was going constantly, and it didn't matter how much water poured down on that fire, the fire never stopped. It kept going. Just like us. Whatever water comes our way in life, whatever challenges come our way, we don't stop. We need to be kavua in our avoda, just like that fire. And that's why that was the miracle. V'hine tainas rova olam izmanenu, he says Reb Chaim V'lozhin, that the taina, the claim of many people in his generation, she'enam yechulim lasok b'torah machmas adayga v'tirdos ha'parnosa. Doesn't sound that different than ours. Right, that we don't have time to learn, or we're constantly worried about things. We have stresses and anxieties of life. We're worried about parnasa, about how we're going to support our families, how we're going to support our kids, how we're going to pay our tuitions. Lizet omer shehuta is gamur, and he said it's a big mistake. Rak shiyah batuach b'Hashem yeyachol yelasek b'Tayra. Said just have bitachon Hakadosh Baruch Hu and be able to learn Torah. And that's what he says. V'zeh shama shelo kibu gshamim. This is what it means that the rain never stopped. Ki gshamim remis leparnasa. That the rain is what is a hint for parnasa, right? The rain is what allows an agricultural society to go ahead and have its sustenance, since food, even in our society, right? So that's what parnasa is. Shelo yelacha mizechas v'chalila shum bitul v'chibo ilase katar shenikra ish. You shouldn't have any time chas v'lila you're ever mevatel Torah, which is the ish. K'moshu kasev halo kol devrei k'ish. So beautiful idea from the Ruach Chaim that the ish tukad is us. And yes, we're going through tremendous challenges in general in life, in the klaliyistika sense, in an aprastiyistika sense, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something from each and every one of us right now, but we need to know that our Eish needs to keep on burning. Our fire needs to keep going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially with Pesach around the corner, a time of Avodah, a time to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an, you know, unbelievable way, a way that the Svarim talk about, that we can really attain certain levels of Kedusha that are on just like such high levels, that we need to try to tap into that. And we'll close then with an idea from the Chasam Sofer in his Haggadah Pesach. A beautiful, beautiful Chasam Sofer. Really, maybe not something the kids can understand, their children, but, you know, it's something for us, I think, to go into the Seder with this mindset and to have. So the Haggadah of the Chasam Sofer talks about, in this section over here, the bracha on the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? One of the famous questions asked about the Haggadah, there are many questions, but one of them is, where's the bracha on the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's the only night of the year where we have a mitzvah to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know that we have a principle that we always say brachos on mitzvahs. So if we have a mitzvah to tell over the story of the Exodus of Egypt, where is the blessing? So says the Chasam Sofer, Masha makshin arishonim. That which the Rishonim ask already, it's already in the Rishonim, I think the Rosh, she says, that would draw a mask this, Why isn't there a bracha? So he quotes down here in the different Rishonim that asked this question already, and they all give different tirutzim. Some say that the bracha of Kiddush is the bracha, and we say in it Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim, little dachuk, because we say Kiddush every Shabbos. Some say that it's the bracha, that there is no bracha, because the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, doesn't have a shir, and there's a Rashba that talks about whether, when you have Bichas HaMitzos, you don't necessarily, have a bracha when there's, no shir for, the mitzvah, like the mitzvah of Tzedakah. We don't say a bracha before you get Tzedakah. So, the Chasam Sefer has a novel, beautiful chiddush that he comes onto. He says, V'yesh Mitarzin Shenichlo, and he says, some explain the Virchas Dasher Ga'alanu. Right? That it's really the bracha at the end of Magid, Asher Ga'alanu. He says, Veinu Muvon. Says the Chasam Sefer, I don't understand. Why don't we say the bracha then before we start the Haggadah? Asher Ga'alanu was said at the end of Magid, right before we're about to do Motzi Matzah. Right? What are we saying it afterwards? We know that we go ahead and we have a principle from Shmuel in the Gemara that kol mitzvah kulam revarich oyver lasiyosan. You have to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah, not after you do the mitzvah. We always say brachos right before we do the mitzvah, not immediately before we do the mitzvah. So he asks, how could Asher Ga'alanu be the bracha and it's recited at the end of Magid after we finish telling the story? We know we find in the Gemara Pesachim that you have to start and say it at night with the lowliness, the bad, and we finish off with on a high note with the good. Avadim hayinu mitchila avodah zara hayu avaseinu of the avodah zara hayu avaseinu v'hine kmo shechayv adam liras es atzma ki liyatsim itzraim. So he says, we know the Gemara says, right, there's a machlokus whether or not you start with mitchila of the avodah zara hayu avaseinu, or which is the spiritual lowliness that we were, that our forefathers, Terach, was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, he worshipped idols, or did we start with that we are physical slaves in Mitzrayim? So we do both. We do both in the Haggadah. And he also says that there's also a chayiv, that a person has to go ahead and view himself as he left Mitzrayim. Kamo kein chayiv adam liros atzmo kilu hu haya me'ov de Avodah Zarah ve'achshav kir ha'makum la'avodaso. Says the Chasam Sofer, a person then, it comes out, has an obligation that he, at the beginning of the Seder, has to view himself as what? As if he himself, I myself, Chayim Bash, I'm an Oved Avodah Zarah. And I now, at the end of Magid, I start off on that level, I start Maschil Begnus, and I'm Messiah B'Shvach at the end, I'm now close, and I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hayom balayla hischil la'avod Hashem, and on this day now, I'm starting to go ahead and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a newness, a freshness, a beginning to start over my avodas Hashem from nothing, from the beginning. So says the Chasam Sofer, so why does the bracha have to be at the end? Getting back to his original question, there's one exception to the rule in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Batilas Gerim, that when does a ger who goes and has to go to the mikvah say the bracha? After he goes into the mikvah, after the tefillah, mipnei shekodem tefillah eino yachal leimar v'tzivanu. Says the Gemara Pesachim and Daf Zayin that before he goes into the mikvah, a ger who's a convert isn't Jewish. So how could he say that Hashem commanded me? He commanded us v'tzivanu. He can't. He can't say it at that point. So what does the Gemara say? The solution is he says it afterwards because he's not part of Klal Yisrael. He can't go ahead and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. He says it after he goes in the mikvah. Now he has a status of being a Jew, being a member of Klal Yisrael. He could say, V'tzivanu. Says the Chasam Sofer beautifully, Hachinami koidem sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim eino yachal lomar v'tzivanu. So too here, before the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you can't say V'tzivanu, because we're over the Avodah Zarah. M'mnesha adayin hu b'chinas kilu hayom eoy de Avodah Zarah. Because at that point in time, we have to look at ourselves as if we're mamish going through this whole exodus, we're the ones experiencing it, and so we are have a status of mitchila hayo avoseinu of the avodah zarah, that we are of the avodah zarah ourselves. Ulaachar sipo shiachalom avetzivanu asu nichla brichas asher galanu. And afterwards of the sipo mitzias mitzrayim, and we go through the whole Magid section, now we have the status of a Jew, and we're able to go ahead and to say the bracha that we're included now as part of, to be a member of Klal Yisrael, to be a Jew, of Asher Ga'alanu. A beautiful, beautiful insight, a drush, a whole perspective on the Seder night, that at the Seder night there's a transformation process for each and every one of us. And on that note, I wish everybody a beautiful Shabbos. And I guess we're not going to have a shir before Pesach again, so should also have a chag kosher v'sameach, as healthy and safe and as uplifting and nice and beautiful yontif as we can, although we're dealing with so much going on at this time. And Mirtz Hashem, I look forward to seeing each and every one of you soon in person. Have a good Shabbos.
Yeah. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Yehuda.
I want to go to sleep.
Yehuda, it's 9:18. Shluffy time.
Hi, Michael.
Nice. Hi, Yehuda. How are you?
Yehuda, that's Saba.
I am now. It's amazing.
Oh, thanks, Dad. I'm going to go take out the trash now.
I heard the last part.
Oh.
What about the part about taking out the garbage? I think she should hear that again.
Dad, that part was for you.
Thanks.
I can't see Saba. Can I
speak?
Okay, Yehuda, I'm going to go to sleep. Everybody, I'm going to sign off, but Yehuda, you should go to sleep, okay? It's very, very, very late, Sadik. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye,
Yehuda.
Family bedtime. All right,
we'll have a Lavender Zoom tomorrow.
Okay, so it ends.
Thank you, Yehuda.
No, don't.